Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends through perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. Sexual abuse is a painful subject. Some victims suffer in silence and go to their grave, having never shared their secret with anyone. Others may take years before revealing their history to a confidant or their spouse, but are reluctant to disclose details or seek professional help. They may mask their wounds with smiles and people-pleasing, but the pain remains buried in the soul. Shelley's story, a debut novel, encourages victims of sexual abuse to know that God offers hope. Dr. Morris Isara joins us today, but we pause here at the beginning of our program to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Show is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, offering God's hope. And it is our hope and prayer that you, if you don't know the Lord, you would turn to him and receive him as your Savior and Lord. Dr. Morris Isara is the author of Shelley's Story, Creating Ripples of Hope, Healing, and Restoration from Abuse. He co-founded Shepherd's Wellspring Ministries, a pastoral counseling resource ministry, with his wife Jasmine in 2017. Morris also wrote the memoir, What Now, God? Rising from the pain of loss and learning to live again after losing Jasmine to COVID in 2021. Morris, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Morris, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Honolulu, Nu'uanu Valley, born and raised, and lived here until about 1987. Found my wife and we got married in 85, then in 87 moved to Dallas to go to seminary with the intent of moving back, ministering here, but you know, as God always has his plans, so we have, that has been home for us, raised our two children who are native Texans. That might not be a big deal for people outside of Texas, but if you are in Texas, it's a big deal to be a native born there.
May I say, howdy.
Howdy, yes.
A different kind of status if you're a native.
That's right. Now,
who would you say, Morris, influenced you most in your growing up years?
You know, I grew up in a Christian home, small church. I think the most impactful or pivotal point for me, I was 16. My neighbor friends, you probably know him, Andy Kikuta. He is forming a Christian band. And this was at during the Jesus Movement, the initial time of the introduction of contemporary Christian music. And so he is forming this group. And he asked me to join. And, you know, like I said, I was just growing up as going to church. That was Christianity. I mean, I had my faith, but it's following the rules. And at the very first practice session, it was in his home, and we didn't actually practice. The group just talked about an opportunity that they had, and they were invited. So they talked about, should we do this or not? Because they weren't about entertainment. They're about ministry. And the whole time spent seeking the Lord, praying over it. And I went home that evening. It was the first opportunity that my parents allowed me outside of my church or my denomination, you know, to do anything outside. I was 16. They thought if we don't allow Morris this opportunity, you know, we could lose him. And I got home. My mom sat me at the dinner table. She said, well, how was it? And I just started crying. And I said, I have never been around a group of people who just love God so much. And I just felt that. And that was a turning point for my spiritual walk. It wasn't about rules anymore. It wasn't about just going to church. I mean, I still continue to practice that. But to realize that this relationship is real. There is a love relationship between Jesus and us as believers. And so that was very influential and led, you know, Andy, those others in his group, they were called to ministry. And when I was 21, God called me into vocational ministry.
A calling to vocational ministry. When did you meet Jasmine?
I met her in 83 or 84. I had gone on staff with a church in town, and she was the prettiest of the single girls there, but it was her spirit that caught my attention. And she, at the time, she was a flight attendant with Hawaiian Airlines.
And Cherry, she competed in the Cherry Blossom.
She had competed. This was prior to meeting me. And I think it was about the time she had accepted Christ or shortly before that. Because she came to faith. She didn't grow up in a Christian home. She came to faith in her earlier mid-20s. So when I met her, she was early 30s. She's a few years older than I am. I was in my late 20s. And so within a year, I'd say that we met, we got married. And 2 years after that is when we moved. Yep.
How did the story of Shelley grow in your heart?
That was really a God thing. People have asked me, because it is a book about sexual abuse, but I don't have sexual abuse in my background, which people find, counselors find unusual, because usually things come out of that. I had, throughout our life and ministry, the themes of redemption and restoration has been foundational. Whether I'm teaching the book of Romans, or whether I'm teaching people about spirit transformed life, or ministering to people on the phone or in person, it always came back to redemption and restoration. We counseled together, we had a counseling ministry, and after she passed, you know, the book title is What Now, God? That was the question is like, when I came to realize, when the doctor said, she's not going to survive. Because up to that point, we expected her, with 200 people praying for her, that God would heal her. And it became, What Now, God? And after writing that book, throughout the months after she passed, was my therapy. My healing came just from processing it, and because the book is ministering to other people, give people hope. And when that was complete, then I asked God again, what now? And he had dropped the seed thought in my mind for Shelley's story, to write this novel about childhood sexual abuse. And it came, there were some influences. I had worked for 13 and a half years with June Hunt at Hope for the Heart, ministering to people over the phone. That was my job, my responsibility. And so I spoke to a lot of people who had been sexually abused. Jasmine and I had counseled some who had been. And what I realized is that, well, let me just give you one story. A lady, she called and she said she had been sexually abused when she was 5 years old. When she was a teenager, she became promiscuous. She didn't make the connection. Then she got married and divorced and basically shared her story with me. And her question was, how does God see me? Does he accept me? Because she had shame. And so I ministered to her through that about how does God see us, about forgiveness, about identity in Christ and false guilt and all of those issues. And at the end of our phone call, she said, Morris, I'm 62 years old. And I have never told anyone about this. And, you know, we look at statistics. There are various statistics about how many have been sexually abused as children, etc. But I'm convinced that the majority of victims have never reported. And so just the seed thought about writing a story about those who are victims and have never shared or have never sought help for it, and live their entire lives with false guilt and shame, and to impart to them the truth that they don't have to carry that the rest of their lives. It's not God's will, but that God can redeem what happened to them. He can restore them to healing and wholeness and fullness that Jesus promised when he said he came to give us an abundant life.
You're listening to Dr. Morris Isara. God gave him an idea, planted a seed of a thought in his heart. After writing the book What Now, God, where he shares about his journey and Jasmine's journey and the family's journey through her homegoing process through COVID. But now a novel, a debut novel, Shelley's Story, where he addresses sexual abuse. When we come back from our break, more from Morris Isara. It was in the 80s that he and Jasmine moved to Dallas to study the word, to go to seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, where he earned his Master of Theology, his THM, and went on later to get his Doctorate of Ministry degree, to be equipped to rightly and accurately handle the word of truth. And now with the tender heart of compassion, Shelley's Story. Amazon.com, you can get it there. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus' stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dr. Morris Isara says, victims of sexual abuse do not need to live with the pain of their wounds for the rest of their lives. But many victims turn away from God because he didn't protect them from abuse. Dr. Yesara joins us to address these hard-hitting realities. His novel, Shelley's Story, is available at Amazon.com. Morris, you were inspired to write Shelley's Story. How did the story grow in your heart?
You know, the story was just organic. Typically, when people write a book, they'll have the whole story outlined, and then they just, you know, fill it in with the text and follow that. And it wasn't that way. I just knew that I wanted to, God put on my heart to give people hope. And various, the people that I have been exposed to directly, stories that I've heard, it became a conglomeration. So it's, Shelley is not a particular person that I had known. The book is fiction. And so it's, and my background is pastoral. So, and I'm just learning to write, learning to be an author. And, you know, one of the principles was, well, there needs to be a narrator. So the narrator in the book is Pastor K. Basically, he tells the whole story. He's telling about it. And but as it grew, I wanted it to be, or felt it should be, such that a person reading it can see things within themselves, see their parts in it, because no, everyone's situation is different. But also wanted it to be realistic, even theologically. You know, there's sound theology in it, but within the theology, there are questions. When I did my doctoral work, it was on my biblical portion of it was on the lament, and come to realize, you know, we always refer to the Psalms as worship. Well, a third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. There's pain there. It's an expression, and a lot of them are questions. You know, why God? Why do you let, you know, the righteous suffer? And so when someone is abused, especially a child, there's that question, God, why did you let this happen? If you are sovereign, then how could you let this happen?
And sexual abuse in families. Mm-hmm. Morris, how common is that?
You know, when we hear about abuse, a lot of times sex trafficking, even the idea or the thought is it happens because of a stranger or someone's kidnapped and abused. But the majority of cases are either through a family member or a trusted family friend. And I'd say it is more prevalent. You know, the statistics are about 1 in 4 girls or 1 in 5 girls or 1 in 5 boys or 1 in 9 boys. I mean, I see different statistics. But like I said, I believe it's more prevalent than that. But it occurs the majority of the time within family structures. People that I know personally have been abused by their biological fathers, which just blows my mind. I can't wrap my head around that. How I try to envision myself, and I just cannot go there, you know. And so that was a part of the exploration and part of trying to incorporate those things within the book in a realistic way that people, you know, will see, oh, this really does happen. And as far-fetched as we might think logically, we have to face the reality that it does occur. And the book is in a Christian context. And again, that's another area, is it happens in Christian homes, sometimes in homes of Christian leaders, but it's never talked about. It's never addressed. It's always hidden. And then there's damage, of course, to the victims when it's shut down. Never discussed, never handled.
In the story.
Yes.
Shelley says to God, "You ghosted me."
Mm-hmm.
How does this feeling, in the context of the church, how does that relate with those who are sexually abused?
In church situations, in typical preaching and teaching, you know, our faith is couched in very positive terms, and there's truth. I mean, God is, he's our comforter, he's our strength, he is all of these things. He is, you know, our resource, the one we go to. And then there are life situations where, in as characterized in the book, where God is, we grow up feeling, understanding God being all those things, but then tragedy comes, crisis hits, like abuse, and you cry out to God, and it's like he's silent. Why does he allow that to happen? How could he allow that to happen? And that's where, part of why I wrote the book, or there are two questions in the book that I addressed, and which are rarely asked. We understand in our theology and our belief system, when we go to heaven, it's a joyful place, a place of peace and comfort, no more pain, no more sorrow. Well, and I don't want to give away the whole book, but there's the character rebels against God because God ghosted her, and she's angry with God, and eventually when she gets to heaven, the last several years of her life, that's how she lived it. Rebellious against God, angry with God, but then she goes to heaven. How is she going to face Jesus? What's that reunion going to be like when the last years of her life were against him?
Well, and someone listening, and of course we're talking about the story, and implied in the story are relatable points mm-hmm. to our own lives. How did she even get to heaven? Because she certainly would not have believed. She certainly didn't think that she would get to heaven. And this idea of ghosting,
mm-hmm.
I just the way that it's written is so striking. In the innocence of someone learning about God, there is, after an assault, let's say for example, the application of scripture to say, well, if you pray, God hears and God answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happens again.
Yes, yes.
And then again. And we could speak of assault. One could imagine what they want to imagine. But what then? And that's why, Morris, okay. I appreciate that you had the courage to write about this. And it allows us to even have this conversation.
Yes.
I wonder about someone today. Dear friend, as you listen to Morris Isara, author of the book Shelley's Story, a debut novel creating ripples of hope, healing, and restoration from abuse, have you ever prayed and really believe that God was going to protect you? I mean, boldly believe that. And then nothing happened other than you being assaulted again. It could be something stolen from you, a stolen innocence. What do you do with that? Have you ever felt guilt? Have you ever felt confused? And then that turns into a kind of blind rage. And then you just lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Does God even know? Does God even respond? Does God respond even in one's rebellion? These are questions that yes. Morris addresses. Morris, a word before our break.
Okay,
please.
Let me speak to that. There are characters. Shelley is one of the characters, and we've discussed what she's like. Her sister is another character who responds in a very different way under very similar, if not the same, circumstances.
Melissa.
Yes, Melissa. And that's the message in both experiencing horrible abuse, horrible violation. Well, one responds one way and the other responds a completely opposite way under the same circumstances, and how God works or what the relationship becomes with God as a result of those decisions. So there's a place of being victimized, and there is no guilt in that. And a lot of times people feel guilty, like, what did I, you know, I must have done something wrong. Well, no, there is no guilt when, especially for a child. They truly are victims. At the same time, how does that person respond in the situation? And that can determine the trajectory of their life.
Dr. Morris Isara, author of Shelley's Story. When we come back, more, deeper. Will you stay with us? Are you relating with this in some way? Do you know someone who has been victimized, someone who has been assaulted, someone close to you, a friend, maybe a family member? Or could it be you? Have you ever spoken with somebody about these things? Or are you in a church? Have you experienced something in church? Or do you know others who have been in this type of situation? Well, when we come back, more from Dr. Morris Isara. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from The Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
June Hunt, founder of Hope for the Heart, says, in truth, Shelley's story could be lived out in any town. The dynamics are painfully relevant. Beware, she says, the insights in this book could prick someone's conscience. But for certain, the highlights within will warm your heart. She's talking about the book Shelley's Story by Dr. Morris Isara. You can get that book at Amazon.com. I strongly recommend Shelley's Story to you, dear friend. Morris, how is God using Shelley's story? Individuals, families, marriages, churches, share more of what God is doing, please.
Well, it's relatively new, and I am, you know, taking some intentional steps toward getting the word out there. That's part of the challenge when you, for a self-publisher. But I have also had people review it, especially counselors. and the impact of it. You know, let me just kind of share how this came about. After I finished Shelley's story, the question again, okay, what now, God? And he said, write the sequel. And I didn't know what that was going to be. I just knew that it needed to go, it could go deeper. I purposely wrote the entire story to bring out the aspects of God's, that God can redeem and restore regardless of what the pain is, what the situation was. But I also purposely didn't go really deep into the abuse side of it and what that entailed. I covered it because the subject itself, as you know, is difficult for people. Many people don't even want to believe that it happens in Christian homes or in churches. And I think the subject matter also can be too heavy for some people. They will just close the book and say, this is too much for me. But so in writing the sequel, it takes it steps deeper. And so I had the book, and I have a friend who's a counselor. So I gave it to her, and I said, as a counselor, I'd like you to read this. It's about childhood sexual abuse. I want your perspective because I'm writing a sequel to it, and I want to be accurate. I want it to be realistic and relatable. And she said to me, Morris, I've never told you my story, have I? And I said, no. She started sharing. She was a victim of sexual abuse from her father. And so I said, okay, go ahead, read the book after you finish reading it. Then let's get together and we'll talk. I want your feedback, and then I'd like you to advise me on the sequel. She read the book, and she got back with me, and she said, this has brought healing to me. Now, she's already a counselor. She has already gone through therapy various times for her, you know, for her healing, and yet reading the book did that for her, brought her more healing. And then I met another person who's a pastoral counselor, and she read the book and she said, reading Shelley's story made me feel normal, because when there are issues, there are triggers, there's certain behaviors that, you know, we're all affected by trauma, that she wasn't connecting it to what she went through, but realizing this is what happens when there's this type of trauma, that my reaction, you know, it brought healing to her too as well. So that has been the impact. And then walking through the sequel with the first counselor, again, it was bringing more deeper degrees, broader degrees of healing in her as well.
Dennis, I'm listening to this. I'm marveling at God and how he's working through Morris. This is, I've read just the first book, and I read it in one day. I just couldn't put it down. But just knowing the grief that you were experiencing with losing your wife, and then to write the book, What Now, God? And then the Lord has put this wonderful, not only story, but sequel together. I just pray it's really encouraging to our listeners to know that we serve a God that is faithful, and that if we will seek him and trust him, listen to him, he will do amazing things.
And Morris, you are listening and moving forward by faith and taking action, and God is seems to be pouring more into you in the process. I wonder, did you ever think that you would be a novelist?
Never. I've never written or even thought of writing a novel. You know, when you're in ministry and also you're reading, you're researching, right? Preparing for a sermon, so reading commentaries and et cetera, but never reading fiction. Even writing, you know, What Now, God? I mean, it's a memoir, but it's truth, right? And it's real. That's why I was surprised when God just kind of dropped seed thought in me to write this and write a novel.
You mentioned the healing that you experienced when you were writing What Now, God?
Yes.
And you talk about the process. You talk about Jasmine. You talk about Hilo to heaven. You write about lament.
Yes.
Lament. And then moving forward.
Yes.
Several chapters at the end, you write about moving forward in the book, What Now, God, Rising from the Pain of Loss and Learning to Live Again. But on Shelley's story, Morris, in what ways have the writing of Shelley's story changed you?
I have to give that just a moment of thought. It strengthened. I've spoken to a lot of people who have been victims, but to really create or write a story that portrayed what victims really go through, what a perpetrator, what motivates a perpetrator, and also, like I said, the pastor narrates a story, and having been a pastor, how does he handle this? And it just brought empathy and a sensitivity to that, an empathy of, because I, in order to really portray the characters as realistic, I mean, and what people truly go through, and there are male and female victims. We always think of women, but girls, but boys also get victimized. To really get into their skin and their heart and realize the depth, how to communicate the depth of the pain and the fear and the struggle. And so just increases that level of empathy for them and for the pastor who has to walk through this. With my very first pastorate, the very first person who came to me for counseling was a man in his 30s, and he said he was sexually abused by his brother when he was 9 years old. And he had all of these other issues, but it's like, I had no clue in what to do with that. How to minister to him, I sent him to the professional, which was the right thing to do, because we have to be willing to embrace our limitations, know what they are. But it really enabled me, writing the book, to really understand more deeply and to even consider some issues that we don't think about. For example, a character in a book ends up on the street, rebels, is abused, or Shelley is abused and rebels and leaves home and ends on the street. And we see street people all of the time. And we talk about, what do we do with them? They're a nuisance to the society. There's an eyesore. And, it's easy to view them that way. But the question is, how did they get there? No one grows up and says, well, I just want to learn, see what it's like to live on the streets and not have a home and not have a job and be addicted to drugs.
I just want to lose my mind.
Exactly. Right.
Go insane. And
yeah. But it's like, there's a story behind every person. And so it just raises the awareness of what's pain has that person, what trauma did that person go through where they ended up there?
What would Jasmine say about how God is moving through your ministry today?
That's an interesting question. Yesterday, I met with a counselor. To talk about the books, and she has a ministry to those who have been sexually abused. And she said, so I gave her a little bit of my story, and she had these books in front of her, and she said, so Jasmine passed in 21, and you wrote these three books. She would have been so proud of you. And when she passed, and that's, of course, that's a huge loss. No one really knows losing a spouse is different from any other kind of loss. But, and her life was all about Jesus. Everything she did, she wanted to, was only to glorify God. And so I came to the point of saying, okay, God, you took her, but you left me. So a part of my motivation is, how do I honor her life, her legacy? And that has turned into doing everything that I can, using the time that I have, to bring glory to him and to bring honor to her, to honor the life that she lived. And so, and he has directed my steps toward the writing ministry. And yeah.
And he's doing a beautiful job, Morris. It really is inspirational, motivating. I think I have your next book. After the sequel, I want you to interview people, homeless people, and write their story. What do you think, Danny? I think he could do that.
You certainly have a tenderness, and a kind of God-given empathy, and therefore insight, I would be very interested to see something like that.
Well, I have an idea of a sequel to the sequel.
Sequel to the sequel.
that would incorporate, you know, because there is a character in the sequel that had lived on the streets, and she goes back into that type of ministry because she was rescued, and now she is working with that agency to then rescue others off the streets. So,
and I don't want to lose sight of something. I love sharing with people that we serve a preparatory God. And I'm thinking about Dallas Seminary and lamenting. The Lord was touching you with that at Dallas Seminary, and now he's brought it full circle to these books.
Yes.
You're listening to Dr. Morris Isara. The book, Shelley's Story, it's available for you at Amazon.com. Go ahead and get a hold of Shelley's Story, read it, share it with a family member, share it with a friend. When we come back in our final segment, dear one, are you facing a challenging time? You say, well, Danny, I am. It doesn't relate specifically with sexual abuse, but I'm going through a tough time. Well, Morris can speak into that. Someone may be going through a process of working through some abuse. It could be in the distant past. It could be in the recent past. It could be something that's going on even within the radius of time that we speak today. Amazon.com, Shelley's Story. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
The Centers for Disease Control and Protection, the CDC, estimates that 1 in 4 girls And 1 in 13 boys in the United States are sexually abused before age 18. Now, these numbers are likely underestimated because many victims never report abuse or receive help. Morris Isara's debut novel, Shelley's Story, shines light through this window of pain as an opportunity for healing and hope. So, Morris, thank you for your humility, your obedience to God, your prompt response to get on with the work that He is inspiring you to write, and then allowing the Lord, the Spirit, to guide you even with the help of others to write, mm-hmm. and then to recraft and recraft again and get people's insights. It's like a supernatural act of grace is what I'm sensing. And even having read Shelley's Story and having read What Now, God, Rising from the Pain of Loss and Learning to Live Again. Someone today may be going through their own challenge. Mm-hmm. Maybe related to sexual abuse. Maybe not. Maybe another challenge. Maybe a health issue. Maybe a financial issue. Maybe a family issue. A relationship that's strained or broken. Mm-hmm. That just tears their heart apart. What would you say to someone who is wondering, am I going to lose my child? My child doesn't respond. Or am I going to lose my marriage? Mm-hmm. Because my spouse feels so distant from me. I don't even think there's hope. You're a pastor. Mm-hmm. You've pastored for decades. What do you believe the Lord would say to someone going through a very trying time right now?
You know, there's there's always the fight. We want things to happen a certain way in a certain time. And there is a foundational spiritual principle that is in What Now, God? And in Shelley's Story. And I'll just present it this way as what I went through when Jasmine was ill and didn't look like she wasn't recovering well. And I said, God, there's something in it for me. What is it? What is it that you're trying to show me or teach me? And Jasmine and I lived our lives, and we taught this wherever we, in any circumstances, on surrender, life of surrender. And God said to me when I asked, what is it that you want? What are you doing? He said, surrender Jasmine to me. And I paused, and it's like, okay, I've surrendered everything. What you're saying, surrender Jasmine to me. And I struggled with that because I know that I believe God is sovereign. And I thought, if I say, okay, I surrender Jasmine to you, and what if he takes her? Then I'm complicit in her death. Or that was what I was rationalizing. And I struggled that for about 3 days, and it kept coming back, surrender Jasmine to me. So at one point I said, okay, God, I surrender Jasmine to you. And eventually he took her. But the result is a deeper level, a more completeness of my surrendered life to him. And a part of that goes into the book where Melissa has been abused. And God, you know, she struggles with God. And God says, will you trust me? And she says, I won't use the language in the book, but no, how can I trust you when you allow this to happen? And every time it happens, she comes to God and complains to God, and God says, will you trust me? And finally, there's a point of saying, okay, I will trust you. And he brings restoration through a process, not instantly, but it comes down to the condition of our soul. You know, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love God, who have called according to his purpose. And people misapply that verse. like we're going through difficult circumstances, and they'll quote that and say, well, you know, it's going to turn out. God's promised that it's going to turn out. Well, that's not what this, that verse is talking about, because you have to take that verse in context of verse 29, which says, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That the things to work out the good in verse 28 is becoming like Christ. And we become like Christ through surrendering and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and transform us from the inside out. And so, like in Jasmine's situation, she passed away. I lost my wife, but that's from this life. But that's not the end. That was the end of God's work for her and her purpose. She fulfilled her purpose. But that wasn't the end of my life. And he has taken that and used that to make me more like Christ, bring me to a deeper level of surrender. And so the circumstances that, you know, somebody out there listening, they might have marriage issues and, you know, children issues with their teenagers or whatever the situation, financial, and it may not turn out the way they want it to. It may not turn ideally because there's accountability for their sin, and we're in a fallen world. But God is working within our hearts to make us more like Christ. And that is what is eternal.
This is a good time, I believe, for us to pray. So in view of that, in the spirit of that, Morris, would you pray for someone struggling today?
Sure.
And then, of course, Suzanne, you're here, please. You must pray for our dear listener today.
Good. Dear Father, you know what goes on in people's hearts. You know the struggles of this life. Sometimes those things that we are involved in, those painful areas, are the result of our own sin. And sometimes we are sinned against. And sometimes there are circumstances that are completely beyond our control. And God, we come to you because we can trust you, because you are faithful, because you are loving, because you are our comforter. And we come before you for all of those things. But Lord, I pray for those who are hearing my voice and Danny's voice and Suzanne and hearing about this struggle that's presented concerning childhood sexual abuse. But Lord, it's not limited to that. Lord, your redemption and your restoration covers every area of our life. That whatever pain we've gone through, what we're going through, difficult circumstances, God, you can redeem that. Take the evil, or take the bad, take the pain and turn it for good to restore our souls, that we can become more like Christ. And so, Father, I pray for those out there who are struggling in their circumstances, God, that they can come to you, that you would draw them with your loving hand and loving touch to surrender to you, to trust you in it, that they will come to experience your presence in their life, experience your power to transform, because it is only by your grace and mercy, God, that those changes will come about. And Lord, you are transforming us for eternity, but also to be more effective for your kingdom work here and now. And that we can, as we become increasingly like Christ, that we will touch others for your sake, to draw them to you as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for every set of ears that is hearing this interview now, or that will hear it in the future. Thank you for our listeners. And Father, thank you for the way you have written to Morris, the way you've encouraged him, you've prodded him. And what I hope that our listeners will join with me in hearing is that if we will seek you with our whole hearts, you will gift us, you will bless us with a deep, deep trust in you. And that's what I'm hearing from Morris. We serve a God that we can trust. All praise and honor to him alone. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Morris, thank you for sharing your heart, for sharing your life. You mentioned your two kids, native Texans, Rhapsody and Sazen, and their families. You've got beautiful grandchildren as well.
Yes, thank you. Five granddaughters.
Beautiful indeed. And Suzanne, thank you for being with us.
So grateful to be back with you, Danny. Yes, love you so much.
Love you too. Healing words, dear one, from Morris Isara, Amazon.com. Shelley's story, dear one, God's timing is perfect. And I believe there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, look, perhaps this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to drdanny.live for next steps and to find resources to reach family and friends. Subscribe on major podcast platforms. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Morris Isara, Amazon.com, Shelley's story. Until next time, along with my producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, and social media director, Luke Yamashiro. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it.